This is the World War II Radio Podcast.
A date which will live in infamy.
This is London.
We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Go ahead, Berlin. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Welcome to the World War II Radio Podcast. The goal of this podcast is to present the original radio broadcast from 80 years ago during the days of the war, with the occasional more recent radio program about the war. Today, we have a fascinating artifact of World War II, featuring closed-circuit broadcast from radio correspondents in Italy over the U.S. military's airways on April 22, 1944. It includes the sound checks and instructions to the networks telling them when to pick up the broadcast. The first segment is a CBS report as Eric Savary broadcasts live from the front. Next, we have an NBC update from the Italian theater, then one from the BBC. After those news updates, you can hear various quality checks over the airwaves. The sound quality isn't great, but it does offer a rare behind-the-scenes listen to how news from across the ocean was delivered to the audience at home. The World War II Radio Podcast is a Brick Pickle Media production. If you like the show, please leave feedback on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. You can visit our website at brickpicklemedia.com/podcast, where you can find links to past episodes and other information. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/WW2Radio. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoyed today's episode of the World War II Radio Podcast.
System. We have Eric Savary for you, CBS, 1306:30 to 1308:40. We'll bring you a time check at 1306 GMT. Eric Savary will go ahead at 1306:30. Here is 1306. 2-1, look.
This is Eric Savary speaking from the 5th Army beachhead. American troops here have shoved their line forward a short distance through a limited attack supported by tanks and tank destroyers. And one German advance by 150 men was smothered by a sudden and tremendous artillery barrage. And in the air, our bombers attacked rails and bridges north of Rome again, as well as troop concentrations. You are hearing this morning the first direct broadcast ever made from the 5th Army beachhead. This tiny scallop of Italian coast, where we have the enemy on three sides and the sea at our back. The Army's radio men have risked their lives many times to install these facilities. For this here is like living on a bullseye. I do not believe direct radio reports have ever been made from so exposed a position. There are 10 shell holes in the grounds around this once pleasant villa, and the wall inside here bears a jagged perforation, which removed the hind quarters from the portrait of a bulldog. We came to Anzio by skimming the waves in a tiny plane, with no trouble except for one big German shell which spattered the water 200 yards from the following plane bearing two of my colleagues. And we were greeted by two shells passing just over our jeep and landing 40 yards away. A Negro truck driver, 100 yards from this house, disintegrated into 1,000 anonymous particles. In the night, our quarters were shaking. In the day, I do not remember even a 10-minute interlude of silence, and I have yet to see an unscarred building. You hug the walls as you walk in the streets, and no vehicle is ever parked there. I tell you all this not because it is new and unusual, but just because this is normal. Thousands of men have not left this place since D-Day in January. You can see some from this room, sunbathing on the roofs or rowing in the sea. They're not exactly fatalists, they are not unafraid, but they have learned poise in the face of danger. Yet very often they wonder just what this is all about. Now back to CBS in New York.
Hello now to NBC. Hello to the National Broadcasting Company. We have Ralph Howard for you, NBC. 1309:30 to 1311:30. We'll bring you a time check at 1309. Ralph Howard will go ahead at 1309:30. Here is 1309 GMT. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, look.
This is Ralph Howard speaking from the Fifth Army beachhead in Italy. Some 7 miles inland from this studio, American troops of the Fifth Army are improving and mopping up positions taken in the face of strong enemy resistance. As I talk to you, the sound of guns can be heard in the distance, and the earth trembles under the impact of exploding shells. But let me tell you about this studio, the only one of its kind in existence. It is the first time in history that a broadcasting station has been erected and put into continuous operation this close to the front line. The room from which I am broadcasting is a former sitting room on the second floor of a 10-room villa once owned by an Italian banker. Last September 26th, the Nazis told the Italians they must get out in a hurry. They left behind many of their belongings, such things as furniture, china, pictures, and other personal items. At that time, the house was undamaged. On D plus 2, or January 24th, a small group of soldiers came ashore carrying a portable broadcasting unit and took over the villa, which was beginning to show the marks of war. From that day on, they've been working to make possible radio transmission from the beachhead to the United States. Today, the building's suffering walls are scarred by shrapnel. The surrounding yard is pitted and littered with rubble, where 10 shells have landed. 2 men were wounded, putting the station into operation. Until 2 days ago, the radio operators had a pet horse which they rode in the mornings for exercise. Its name was James. Early Friday morning, during an air raid, an anti-personnel bomb landed in the yard and killed James. The beachhead station is operated by 6 men under the direction of First Lieutenant James O. Herman of Bancor, Wisconsin. He describes the station as a yardbird setup. But nevertheless, there's a note of pride in his voice as he talks to the station and of the men who overcame one difficulty after another to put it into working order. The men themselves call their station Villa Vice, but that's another story. I return you now from the beachhead in Italy to NBC Newsroom in New York.
Hello now to BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation. We have Winfred Vaughn Thomas for you, BBC. 1312:30 to 1314:30. We bring you a time check here, BBC. At 1312, Mr. Thomas will go ahead at 1312:30.
Here is 1312:4321, look.
Hello, BBC. This is Winfred Vaughan Thomas speaking from Anzio on April the 22nd at 15 hours. This is dispatch 138, titled Direct from the Beachhead. Hello, BBC. This is Winfred Vaughan Thomas speaking for the first time direct from the 5th Army beachhead at Anzio. We've set up our first beachhead studio, the nearest studio in the world to the front line. Well, it's not exactly up to broadcasting house standards. It's just a room in a bomb-shocked Italian villa that's already been bracketed by German shells. The Germans themselves are only a few miles down the road. But that hasn't deterred the American signalers here from working on it, and today we are celebrating that triumph by inaugurating the Beachhead Broadcasting Corporation. This first news bulletin I can send you direct from Anzio contains nothing spectacular. The Americans made a successful little push yesterday, 4.5 miles south of Chistone. They had tank support and they improved our lines. Our artillery smashed up a party of 150 Germans forming up to attack near the little hamlet of Carano. In short, as the official communique puts it, things were generally quiet. But quiet at Anzio has a different meaning from quiet elsewhere. It means that German long-range shells have been falling monotonously into the back areas. It means that the inevitable night raid, our 285th, came in over the beachhead last night, with the AK-AK putting up its usual magnificently noisy display, 1,000 rounds bursting in the air at any given moment. It means that the troops in the front line have had their usual dose of shelling and mortars and machine gunning. But it also means that, under the daily discomforts of beachhead life, British and American troops have carried on as cheerfully and efficiently as ever. In the testing grounds of the beachhead, these men have now become tried veterans. And that is the most important news I can send you today, direct from Anzio.
We'll have further stats from Field Press headquarters later today. At 1400, Winfred Vaughan Thomas will return for the BBC. We'll begin calling the BBC in London at 1357-1357. We have a spot for the Blue Network with Gordon Fraser. We'll begin calling Blue at 1445-1445. Seymour Common for the Mutual Broadcasting System, 1502 to 1514 GMT. We'll begin calling Mutual at 1500-1500. Eric Severide for CBS Tonight, 1831-15 to 1833-45. And the Army Hour for NBC, 1933-1933 to 1937-1937. This is Field Press Headquarters, Italy, signing clear with RCA in New York. Hello, WQV. I didn't get that, WQV. Could you give me a repeat, please?
Oh, hello. Say, tell them that their first frequency was the best, that they went into a bad spot when they shifted. So in the future,
hello, WQV. Hello, WQV. I have you better now. Okay, WQV, I have that. Thank you very much. We'll see you at 1357. So 1357, GMT, FBO Times Square, with WQV in New York.
About that QRM, but our receiver said that they had a little QRM in the first frequency, and they went from bad to worse as they shifted. Yes, I know. Yes. Mm-hmm. They did, huh? That's good. Our circuit wasn't mentioned, was it? Yeah, all signal core stuff. Yeah. Well, I'll meet you at the next spot then is BBC 1400 with the starting of the talk up at 1357. So I better meet you at 1345. Okay, here we go. Bye now. This is station ICA somewhere in Italy. Standing by with station WQV in New York.
Thanks for joining us for today's episode of the World War II Radio Podcast. We hope these old-time radio programs entertain and help you learn more about what Americans experienced during the war 80 years ago. Be sure to visit brickpicklemedia.com/podcast for past episodes and more information